So because no respondent's brief was filed. So the fifth case on today's oral argument calendar is case number A18-1106, State versus Brady Veselka. Appellant's counsel is here. Respondent did not file a brief. The court issued an order pursuant to Rule 142 saying that the case will be submitted. Respondent is not permitted oral argument, and that's why respondent's counsel is not here. So our oral argument today will consist of 15 minutes of argument from appellant's counsel in favor of reversal, and then the matter will be submitted. Mr. Durkin, you may approach and begin.
May it please the court, good morning, your honors, court staff, and members of the gallery, if any. My name is Rory Durkin, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Brady Ray Veselka. Your honors, I've been practicing criminal defense for a number of years, and this is probably one of the weakest search warrant affidavits that I've seen in my career. There are strictly in this affidavit conclusory statements by an officer, some guesses and some maybes by another officer, and what is alleged to be a confidential, reliable informant. In essence, your honors, if I may, a quantity observed combined with a possibly and a possibly with a suspected can absolutely not equal probable cause.
That seems so on a number of the assertions in the affidavit. But one of them stuck out in my mind, and I'd like you to address it, and that is that within the past 72 hours, the confidential reliable informant observed, saw methamphetamine and methamphetamine paraphernalia in Mr. Veselka's home. Why would it be entirely unreasonable for the BCA officer to believe the confidential reliable informant saw these things in your client's home?
Well, I'll tell you for two reasons, and I'll tell you first what's interesting and what your honor left out, what your honor left out of the sentence was a quantity of methamphetamine, which I have never seen before in an affidavit, a quantity.
Why did it
matter? Always a small amount, a large amount, 1 ounce, 5 grams, approximately X amount. And here's why a quantity becomes interesting.
Okay.
Because I will tell you anecdotally, but you're not going to find that anywhere in here. What happened in this case, and the methamphetamine that was observed by the CRI, was brought in to Mr. Veselka's house by the CRI to get high with Mr. Veselka. Now, there's no way that that's going to be proved. And that doesn't necessarily answer your question, at least intellectually. That's the reality of it. Why does that not lead the officer to believe? Well, maybe there was an amount of amphetamine in Mr. Veselka's house. However, the district court, in her order, writes that she based probable cause on the fact that the CRI observed criminal activity in the CRI's home, and the CRI then stated that he believed that there was methamphetamine manufacture going on. That's a clearly erroneous finding of fact, and that's not what happened, and that's not what the CRI said.
Well, I saw what you're concerned about in the affidavit, that probably or whatever.
Maybe, possibly.
Possibly drug manufacturing going on, but if it's not entirely unreasonable, I think that's the standard, for the officer to believe that the CRI saw methamphetamine and methamphetamine paraphernalia inside the home, regardless of whether there were guns, regardless of whether there was manufacturing going on, would that not provide a basis to overcome your concerns about speculation?
Absolutely not. If I walk into your house with methamphetamine and then go out and tell an officer that I saw methamphetamine in Judge Ross's house, is that probable cause? It doesn't say in there that...
That's not in the affidavit. I mean, I'm wondering where that fact is introduced into the record before the issuance of the warrant.
Well, where's the... And at the risk of being argumentative with Your Honor...
That's what you're here for. It's oral argument. Orally argumentative.
Where's the fact in the warrant that states that Mr. Veselka was in possession of that methamphetamine, knew that the methamphetamine was there, saw the methamphetamine, used the methamphetamine?
Now, that level of specificity, I think, is not so customary in warrant affidavits as I've seen. I've seen many, and I think we've affirmed many, and the federal courts have affirmed many, and applying the same Fourth Amendment standard based upon a confidential, reliable informant making a similar statement. I saw drugs, I saw paraphernalia, I saw a gun, I saw X, Y, and Z inside that person's home without going into detail about adding on, oh, and by the way, I didn't bring those drugs in, or, and by the way, the defendant knew those drugs were there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's more than what we usually see in affidavits that are affirmed.
Well, an officer's reasonable belief that there may have been methamphetamine in the house alone does not give rise to probable cause to believe that methamphetamine was in the home or that criminal activity was afoot. In addition to that...
You lost me there. Say that again.
An officer's reasonable belief that there may have been methamphetamine in the home or that the CRI observed methamphetamine in the home doesn't necessarily equate to probable cause to believe that criminal activity is afoot.
Why not?
In addition, because a reasonable belief by the officer is not the same as probable cause to believe that criminal activity is afoot.
If an officer were in your client's home and saw a quantity of methamphetamine and methamphetamine paraphernalia, are you suggesting that that would not be probable cause to make an arrest?
Well, that's the two-pronged approach. First of all, we're dealing with an officer who is already presumed to be somewhat reliable, and he would be obviously not a member of the criminal underworld, and he wouldn't necessarily need to be corroborated.
My question is assuming the reliability of the confidential informant.
Of the officer?
Yeah, my question, well, I'm just trying to break down what your argument is. When you said that alone is not, if the officer was told that there's drugs in the home, that's not probable cause. And I'm wondering whether if the officer observed what the confidential reliable informant informed the officer about, would that be probable cause for an arrest? I want to know whether you agree with that.
Yes, the officer, because the officer's reliability would be presumed.
So your argument really hangs entirely on the reliability of the informant, not upon whether there was a quantity or however it's phrased of drugs. It's just about the reliability of the informant.
Well, you stated there's nowhere in the affidavit, and the case law probably doesn't support it, but whether or not I believe, and I think that there's probably some statements out there that a reasonable belief is not the same. In order for that belief to be reasonable, I suppose, and maybe I am missing the mark here, but a reasonable belief has to be reasonable.
Now, the officer says, I kind of did some business with this confidential reliable informant in the past, and there was drug buys. I mean, there's some basis for the officer to trust the accuracy of the statement in the affidavit on its face.
I disagree with Your Honor. There isn't. And the only thing, in order, easily obtainable information has little value in establishing the veracity of an informant. It does. I mean, there's absolutely no list with respect to any type of success rate. There's no basis with respect to basis of the informant's basis of knowledge for what methamphetamine is. All we have is one controlled by in the past. Did that controlled by lead to any arrests? Did it lead to any convictions? What's the success rate? What's the failure rate? Absolutely, he has to a certain extent.
No, I mean for the officer to trust him. If the officer was involved, I thought the affidavit said the officer was at least implied, the officer was involved in that controlled buy.
At some point in the past, there was a controlled buy of some sort of controlled substance at some point in the past.
Right.
Did it lead to any arrests? We don't know.
But why would it need to if the officer was involved? I mean, it's not like the officer's hearing about this person's involvement. The officer was part of this controlled buy and apparently developed a trust. I'm wondering whether I gather you're saying that's not enough for a reasonable officer to develop trust, constitutionally level, reliable trust in a confidential informant, to believe the informant when he says to the officer, there are drugs in that house.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
There's case law supporting that proposition.
Well, I think that the case law that I've mentioned in my brief with respect to what a confidential reliable informant, in order to establish his trustworthiness, is, if I can have just half a second, Your Honors, in order, there has to be an explicit and detailed description of the alleged wrongdoing along with a statement of event, at least with respect to this warrant. With respect to providing trust, in order for a confidential reliable informant, there has to be listed in, if I can have just a second. All right, in the state, in the case of Wiley, State v. Wiley, 366 NW 2D at 368, the affidavit must explicitly state this to be the case. Clearly, the affidavit stated that this officer has worked with this informant in the past, but that alone is not enough. The issuing judge should be provided information about the past accuracy rate of the individual. And in this case, Agent Wolliver indicated that the confidential informant had provided accurate information in the past that had been corroborated, and he'd made one controlled buy. But a boilerplate statement accompanied by an affidavit and a vague recitation of a single incident does not establish that reliability, and that's from the same case. Moreover, the affidavit is silent as to this particular tipster's basis of knowledge, and that's important. We have one controlled buy. How is an individual who is allegedly identifying methamphetamine and methamphetamine paraphernalia, how is his veracity to be believed if the issuing judge has no basis of knowledge? What was the past controlled by? Was it some OxyContin on the street? Was it some marijuana at a farm? We don't know, and we don't know what this alleged CRI knows or what his basis of knowledge is. And Your Honors should know that, or any judge should know that. What if he's worked with him 75 times in the past, and only one time he provided corroborating information? And what information was corroborated? We don't know what type of information had been corroborated. And even in this particular warrant, the information that was corroborated, the value of the corroboration is key and critical. And we don't know any of the corroboration that this informant has provided in the past. We don't know the quality of that. With respect to the value of the corroboration, with respect to determining veracity of an informant, hinges upon the quality of the corroborated info. We don't have any information with respect to any type of corroborated information that this alleged reliable informant had ever provided. And I think, and that's State v. Albrecht, and that's easily obtainable information has little value in establishing the reliability of an informant. And we don't know what this informant has corroborated other than what we have in this particular affidavit, which the officer indicates is he believes in a conclusory statement to be sufficient. And easily, like I said, easily obtainable information has little value in establishing that reliability. What has been corroborated in this particular warrant, the color of a house and an address and weight and height, which is easily obtainable information. And then Gabbert, which is Information easily obtained by a number of sources is insufficient to establish a reliance, veracity, or reliability, and we don't know. There's no corroboration with respect to meth or manufacturing. There's no garbage search. There's no buy. There's no chemical checks with respect to hardware stores. There's not even a conclusive officer statement, you know, that was used. We know he's manufacturing meth. That was the other officer that Wolliver spoke to. The officer that Wolliver spoke to said, well, he's suspected of manufacturing methamphetamine. There is absolutely no corroboration. There is nothing in this particular warrant that would establish probable cause at least enough to search Mr. Veselka's home. What's interesting is in the nexus portion of Her Honor's memorandum in order, I think she quotes or writes that, or indicates that there was a, oh, and by the way, excuse me, the CRI, here we go. Here, there are past allegations by another officer that Veselka is involved in drug manufacturing. No, there's not. There's an allegation that he is suspected of manufacturing, and the CRI stated they saw methamphetamine in the home and that they believed the defendant was manufacturing methamphetamine. Wrong. That's not right either. Both of those are clearly erroneous. He believed the defendant might be manufacturing methamphetamine on occasion. And as far as the nexus portion, I think Her Honor indicates, oh, and by the way, there was a gun found in the home. There wasn't a gun found in the home. There was a bullet found in a tray on a table. There was no gun found in the home, and the district court uses that, which is almost kind of a bootstrapping. This particular warrant is insufficient to establish probable cause that Mr. Veselka possessed methamphetamine, that he knew that there was methamphetamine in the home. I think the red light's on. Your Honors, I would respectfully request that based upon an appropriate and proper totality of the circumstances analysis, including the six factors that go into whether or not there's sufficient probable cause and whether or not the information with respect to a confidential, reliable informant should be believed, I would respectfully request that you find that the district court erred when she concluded that there was probable cause to issue the search warrant and therefore find that any evidence obtained thereby should be suppressed and unconstitutional. And thank you, Your Honors, and have a nice day. I'm sorry for my cold.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your argument, Mr. Durkin. The case is submitted.